Let's stand together this morning as we open with Joy to the World.
Seated. I think we found Kevin's new favorite song. Well, it's great to see you here this morning. I hope that you have unspeakable joy that is in your heart this morning as we're here. If you haven't noticed, we're getting close to Christmas, right? Some of you may be like, oh my goodness, I got to go shopping, right? And if you don't have to go shopping, good for you. It's good that you're way above the curve. But you know, this morning, as we meet here together, I hope that you learn or relearn or maybe just be reminded this morning of your relationship with Jesus. And you know, if he had never come, there would be no relationship to have. We would have a distant relationship based on a future promise, just like they had in the Old Testament, but because Jesus came, we live in promise. Not a promise to be made, but a promise that has been fulfilled. And so that's the greatest thing about Christmas. Well, let's take our bulletins. We have a few announcements to go through. There is a blessing tree out in the lobby. And you can see there are some paper ornaments. And if you have a blessing, God has blessed you in some way this year, write that blessing out and put it up on the tree. We'd like to be able to have a record of those things. And then also, there is a Christmas Eve service at 7 p.m., okay? And I don't have to tell you what day that is because it's a Christmas Eve service. That's at 7 p.m. And then Christmas morning, there will be no Sunday school, okay? And I am looking for some people who would like to share a testimony, all right? If you would like to share a testimony during the service on Christmas morning, I need you to come and talk to me. I'm going to write out a list, and I'll check it twice. And so if you would like to share, I need to know that you want to share so that we can get you on the agenda. So it'll be during the service, and you got to keep it to about 2 minutes, okay? You go more than 2 minutes, I'll start throwing stuff at you, like some of you do me when I go over noon. I want to say thank you to the people who have been helping with snow removal already. Very much appreciated. Thank you for coming, and if on Wednesdays, if you want to know whether or not the church is going to be open, if Kalamazoo Christian School was open during the day, then that means that Wednesday night services are all still a go, okay, for Awana and everything. So just to help you out with that. If you usually go to the pre-Awana dinner, this is the last Wednesday for Awana until after the new year, but there is no Awana dinner this week, but there is Awana, okay? So just to make that clear. And the youth have their Christmas party. Some of them are wearing some very beautiful looking sweaters, and they have their Christmas party. So youth, make sure that you stay after the service, and that will go until 3 o'clock. All right. For the rest of the announcements, you can read through those in your bulletin. A lot of great things going on here at 12th Street, and I want to encourage you to be part of what our Lord is doing with our congregation. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we celebrate you. Lord, it's sad that we're told all week long by this world that we need to celebrate ourselves. We're told all the time that we need to look out for number one. And I thank you, Lord, that we can get together. We can lay ourselves to the side. We can minister and be ministered to by our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we know that when we are here together, that we have one common purpose, one common thought, that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to you, Lord, we give all the praise and glory. And so we worship you today. We celebrate you. We praise you. And I pray, Lord, that as we lift you up in our hearts and lives, that we will see that it also lifts our souls up. It lifts our hearts up. It lifts our spirits up. Because that's just the kind of great God that you are. Lord, I pray that we would all be challenged today in our relationship with you. And Lord, if anyone here has never come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, they've never trusted in Jesus Christ and him alone for their salvation, I pray this morning that your spirit would do an intense and convicting work. And this morning, Lord, they may be able to rejoice in a new birth and trusting you. And so now, Lord, have your way in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us. As we head back to our seats, I forgot one announcement. As you head back to your seats, we do have a brief, and let me emphasize the word brief, business meeting after the morning service. So I'd like to just remind all of our members, please stay. Just a couple items to vote on. One of them is It affects me and my taxes, so I really want you to stay, okay? All right.
Stand together as we sing this morning. Oh, come all ye faithful.
Come, let us adore Him.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee. Asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby waits. But little Lord Jesus, no crying He makes. I love Thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask Thee to stay close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in Thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with Thee there. And take us to heaven to live with Thee there.
We have the ushers come forward.
Shall we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be in your house today and the many blessings that you provide us each day of our lives and a special time of the year. And we ask that all folks would be blessed this time of year. Ask that you'd watch over those that are out and traveling during this holiday season. We ask that you bless the offering we're about to take and use it bountifully in your way. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.
Thank you. Isaiah spoke the word that a mighty one would come to bring healing to all nations and restore Jerusalem. Many centuries then passed till the perfect time was come. Then a little boy was born as a carpenter's son.
And Jesus, you are here, born in Bethlehem, Redeemer of the world,
for that. At this time, we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church. And as the children are heading out, let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. A father was passing by his son's bedroom, and he was astonished to see that the bed was nicely made, everything was picked up. And then he saw an envelope propped up prominently on the pillow, and it was addressed Dad. And with the worst premonition, he opened the envelope and read the letter with trembling hands. Dear Dad, it is with great regret and sorrow that I'm writing you. I had to elope with my new girlfriend because I wanted to avoid a scene with you and Mom. I've been finding real passion with Stacy, and she is so nice, but I knew you would not approve of her because of her piercings, tattoos, tight motorcycle clothes, and because she is twice my age. But it's not only the passion, Dad. She's pregnant. Stacy said that we will be very happy. She owns a trailer in the woods and has a stack of firewood for the whole winter. We share a dream of having many more children. Stacy has opened my eyes to the fact that marijuana doesn't really hurt anyone. We'll be growing it for ourselves and trading it with other people in the commune for all the cocaine and ecstasy that we can handle. Don't worry, Dad. I'm 15, and I know how to take care of myself. Someday, I'm sure we'll be back to visit so you can get to know all of your many grandchildren. Love, your son, Joshua. P.S., Dad, none of this is true. I'm over at Jason's house. I just wanted to remind you that there are worse things in life than the school report card that's on the kitchen table. When it's safe to come home, please call me. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Very first verse that I had all of my children learn. All right, so if you have little ones that are just learning to walk and talk, this is a great first verse for them to learn. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, for this, which is the first commandment with promise. You know, in Exodus 20, God gives the Ten Commandments to Israel. And you know what the first one that comes with a promise attached to it was honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives to you. Verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Children, you want to have long life? Honor your parents. Some of you say, I know, because when I don't honor them, I fear for my life. But really, God promises for you to have a long life if you honor your father and your mother. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he is bond or free. And you masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, or may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Here in Ephesians 6, four groups of people are dealt with. And we could go back into chapter 5 and remind the husbands, husbands, you are to love your wives, and remind the wives, you are to submit to your husbands, because everything that's talked about here in chapter 5, the same premise is laid for what was talked about in chapter 5 with the husband and the wife. But here in chapter 6, the four groups that are addressed are, first of all, the children. Children. So that's the first blank in your bulletin, okay? Children, obey. What does it mean to obey? Do what you are told. Okay? Do what you are told. Jesus actually told this story, and he said there were two sons that were asked to do something. The one said, yes, Dad, I will, and he didn't do it. The second son said, no, and then he went out and did it. Which son obeyed his father? The one who did it, right? Because obedience is doing what you are told. Letter B, honor. Now in that story, neither son honored their father. The one that said, yes, I'll do it, didn't honor his father. And the son that said, no, and then went out and did it, didn't honor his father, because he said no. Honor is where you show to your parents, you honor them by showing them a life of gratitude. You display for them the fact that you appreciate their leadership that God has given to them over you. Honor. So I would think that bad-mouthing them or calling, I hate it when kids call their dads, even kids, you know, that are 50 and 60 years old, called their parents the old man or the old lady. There's no honor in that. Letter C, there's a promise. Now, this promise is twofold. Number one, it'll be well with you. Don't you want that? Don't you want life to go well? Listen, you don't obey and honor your parents, you don't have the promise that life will go well. And so when life doesn't go well, you can just look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm to blame because I didn't honor my parents. And then secondly, you'll live a long life on the earth. Now, maybe some of you are like, I don't want to live long. All right, well, you know, deal with the repercussions. But a long life is promised to those children who obey and honor. And by the way, at what age do you stop honoring your parents? Never. How about when your parents are dead? Is it okay to stop honoring them? No. Honor them. Honor the memory of them. The second group that's talked about are the fathers. Now, these principles can be applied to both father and mother, but fathers we're talked to specifically because we're the guilty party most of the time when it comes to these things. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. What is wrath? Wrath is acting out in anger. It doesn't tell us, fathers, don't ever make your children mad. No, we're going to make our children mad, right? Because they do wrong. Because they're children. You know, doesn't it just disappoint you when children do childish things? Don't you ever just feel so betrayed when children act childish? Okay, so what happens when they act childish? We reprimand, we take care of it, and they get angry. The Bible doesn't say, don't make them angry. The Bible says that we should not provoke them to wrath. We should not stir up the fires for them to act out their anger. It's one thing to think, I am so mad at you. It's another thing to think, I don't want to ever live with you and for them to physically want to either harm you or get away from you. Fathers, don't provoke them to wrath. Wrath is acting out their anger. Don't incite that fire in them to act their anger out. So then it gives us some solutions to help us with that. Now in Colossians 3, in verse 21, it says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." That Greek word for discouraged in Colossians 3, 1, and this is a parallel passage here to Ephesians 6, but that Greek word for discouraged has to deal with pushing their soul down, or their spirit down. It actually is that discouraged, you could substitute and have no problem, depressed. Children, you can be depressed by your parents and the way that they treat you. And so it's your parents' job not to do that. Because when we provoke them to wrath, to act out in their anger, we depress their spirit, and we depress their spirit, we harm their inner person. It's one thing to make them upset, and two, we're going to talk about in just a second, we should harm their outer person regularly. Spankings are good. God blesses spankings, okay? But to depress their spirit is not good. So then it tells us, bring them up. So here's how we bring them up. To bring them up is, by the way, when we bring up our children, we don't bring them up to hang on to them. We bring them up to hand them off to God, right? Okay? Some birds need a little nudge out of the nest, and some birds are ready to fly. The goal is that they will fly, and that they'll fly into the hands of God. So the goal in bringing up your children is to hand them off to God, not for you to hang on to for the rest of your life. And here's how you bring them up in nurture. Nurture is positive encouragement. Nurture is the nourishment that they need in their spirit to live for the Lord. In Proverbs 22:6, great promise. Some people say, oh, it's not a promise because I've seen it happen over and over where it's not true. I'm sorry, God's word doesn't lie, okay? Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it, okay? The onus is on the parent to nurture. This is the positive side. This is the caring side. This is where we reach into our children's lives, and we aid them in growing close to the Spirit of God and bringing them up in a way where they are fed with the Word of God and fed with the Spirit of God. And parents, it's our job. That's the positive side. But then also bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Admonition is the negative portion. This is discipline. I'm going to read a whole bunch of verses to you about admonition. Kids, you're going to hate these verses. These were not my favorite verses growing up. In fact, every time I would hear my dad reference these, I'd be like, oh, no, not again. All right? Proverbs 19:18 says this, chasten your son while there is hope, and let not your soul spare for his crying. Parents that quit your discipline because they're crying and say, oh, I can't stand to hear my kid, you're not doing them any favors. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. You know what? Never. I know Dr. Spock said that grounding is the way to drive it from them, but God says the rod of correction drives that spirit far from them. Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child, for if you beat him with the rod, he shall not die. I hated that verse. I remember when I was little, my dad said, he said, hey, Thaddeus, come here. I thought he wanted me to go get him a drink of water or something. So I looked at him, and I was going to exercise my independence. And I said, no. He got up out of his chair, pulled off his belt, and gave me 10 swats with his belt. He sat back down in his chair. Thaddeus, come here. It was on. I stood my ground, and I said, no. He got up out of his chair. 10 more swats. Sat back down. All right, my brothers, who usually are like, yeah, Dad, get him. They're like, Thaddeus, just go to Dad. And I was digging in. I was going to be the man. I was going to win this one. No. 10 more swats. 10 times I said no. My mom, she's sitting there and she's just crying. Tom, stop! He's gonna die! I don't know if she said that. But no, I wasn't gonna die. He wasn't hurting me. He was disciplining me. He was driving a spirit out of me. The 11th time, I've received 100 swats. My dad says, Thaddeus, come here. And I walk up to him, and he wraps his arms around me. He pulled me up into his recliner, and he said, all I wanted to do is tell you that I love you. And I'm just like, well, if I'd have known that. Now listen, my dad tells me from that time on, he never sensed a spirit of rebellion in me. Did I do wrong? Yes. And I got spanked for it. But you know what? It drove that spirit of rebellion out of me. And see, we're told because we have so many psychologists and psychiatrists out there that think they know everything, that spanking your child will create in them a spirit of anger and a spirit of where they're going to go out and they're going to harm others. No, I'll tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says when you spank your children, I mean, this verse, it's awesome. Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child, for if you beat him with the rod, he shall not die. And then verse 14 and verse 23, you shall beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Try to find some more places in Scripture where you're promised that you can deliver your child's soul from hell. You know what? You can share the gospel with them all day long, but if you don't discipline them and correct them the way that God says, and the admonition of the Lord, you don't have that promise that you'll deliver their soul from hell. You can read the Bible to them and pray with them every single day. But if you don't discipline them, parents, you aren't given that promise. You deliver their soul from hell when you discipline the way that God says. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod of reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Try to raise a child without disciplining them. They will bring you shame. Parents that want to be buddies are failures. Okay, I love my children. I want to be a friend to my children. But you know the only way that I can be a friend with my children is when they live according to the rules. Because you know what it teaches them when we do it that way? It teaches them about their God. When we step out of line with God, God still loves us. God still cares for us. But our God is a faithful father. He disciplines. And when we don't discipline as parents, we teach our children a lousy lesson of the Lord. We teach them that God doesn't care enough to go after them. No, when we fail, God comes after us. He's got a big stick, and he knows how to use it. And he will use it. And then Proverbs 29:17 says this, correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will be a delight unto your soul. The third group that's spoken to is the servants. Servants are told to obey. All right, now, you have two kinds of servants that Paul would have addressed. The first type of servant, there probably aren't any of us in here that are this way, that you are a servant because you are you're bonded as a slave to a family group. And so that's just how you're going to live. Most people, even in Paul's day, as he writes the book of Ephesians, were not that way. Most people were servants by choice. They're a servant because they needed to make money. And so they became a servant to a master, and they would most often live in the compound of the master, but they would do that so they could make money. They weren't a slave, they were a true servant, much like any one of us that will sign an employment contract. You're bonded with your employer. Now, your employer doesn't necessarily give you a place to live, but they try to compensate you in a way where hopefully you can have a house to live in. So We can relate to this servant idea because it does speak to us today. Okay, servants, obey. And how do you obey? With fear and trembling and singleness of heart. Because we obey when we work for somebody, we obey them as if we were obeying the Lord, right? Because that's how it works. We don't do it with eye service. So it's not with eye service. Don't just do it when your boss is watching. I mean, there are some employees. You ever met the kind of person? They're a great employee when boss is watching. And then when the boss's back is turned, they're lousy. I worked with a guy who, he was always busy. I mean, just busy. And he never did a thing at work. We'd have these purchase orders. And so we'd have to get through and we'd have to get them all done. Get all the purchase orders dealt with and get the customers the cars that they needed. And I went to school full time. So when I got out of school, I would show up to work, usually with him with about an hour or two left. And then I would work into the evening. And I'd show up and he's been there all day. And I'd look at, and all the purchase orders are still sitting there. And I'd be like, what's going on? He goes, I have been so busy today. Well, what'd you do? Well, I needed my 15-minute smoke break. What? And he'd talk about all this busy stuff that had nothing to do with work. But yet when the boss was around, he'd have his hand in the car doing something that made it look like he was. You know what, folks? Don't be that kind of employee. Don't be busy so that you look good. Just be a great employee. Be great at what you do at work. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but doing the will of God from the heart. See, here's the thing. When you have a boss, you work for your boss for God. When you're a lousy employee, you teach them that Christians are lousy workers. I've actually met people that have said, I will not hire anybody that tells me they're a Christian. Why not? Because they're always the worst workers that I have. Shame. We should be the best workers. We should be the best employees. The fourth group that's spoken to is the masters. Masters, remember that whatever you do, you will answer to the Lord. Whatever you do, you will answer to the Lord. So, masters, don't threaten. Don't you hate the boss that all they do is threaten, threaten, threaten? You know, every boss has a carrot and a stick, and they only know how to carry a stick. All right? Bible says don't threaten. Okay? Then don't play favorites. God doesn't play favorites. Masters, you, if you're a boss, if you have people that work for you, you are given a tall order by the Lord that you are to treat them the way that the Lord treats his people. With kindness. And you treat them in a way where they are going to want to work for you, not just have to work for you. And then we come to this place in Ephesians 6, in verse 10, where it says, finally. You know, everybody's favorite words in a message, right? Finally. But see here, when it says finally, it brings us all back into the discussion. You know, whether you're a husband, a wife, a child, a parent, an employee, or an employer. Okay, that brings us all in. All of us are included in this. And it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We're in a war, and it's a spiritual war. And in this spiritual war, we battle in point 5, letter A, subpoint 2. We battle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And he tells us we have to stand. See, why are we battling against these spiritual powers? What are these spiritual powers trying to do to us? Well, if you're a child, they're trying to make you disobey. If you're a father, they're trying to make you provoke your children. If you're a employer, they're trying to make you be a terrible boss. If you're an employee, they're trying to make you be a terrible employee. If you're a husband, they're trying to make you be an awful husband that doesn't love their wife. If you're a wife, it's trying to make you be subversive and angry and bitter against your husband. And so that's what the spiritual powers do. So we're in this battle that's trying to subvert everything that God has said he wants for us. And this is our spiritual battle. And so here's what he says. Stand in two verses. He'll use it three times. Stand, stand, stand. And when we stand, here's what we do. We put on the whole armor of God. Now, let me clear something up for you. You don't put the armor of God on so you can have a better relationship with God. You have a good relationship with God, and that proves that you are fully clothed in the armor of God. Does that make sense? If you think, well, I got to put on the belt, the truth and the breastplate and all these things, I got to put those on so I can be good with God. No, 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 no. If you're having to put them on, your relationship with God is already askew. You're already off. And so he tells us to put on these things because he knows this battle that we face is harsh. He knows that the spiritual powers that are fighting against us are conniving. And so he says, you put this on. But see, as I put this on, this isn't hard. If I'm walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, all of these items, they're a part of my everyday life. Let's look at them real quick. The belt of truth. All right? The belt, that's where everything starts. If I didn't put my belt on this morning, it would be bad because then my pants would be sagging and I would look like I'm 16. All right? So I got the belt on because here's what the belt of truth does. It holds the entire armory together. Without truth, there's none of these pieces are going to hold together. The belt of truth. And if you don't live by the truth in your life, the truth of Jesus Christ, then your whole life is going to fall apart. This armor won't stay together. The belt of truth, it's essential. It's the beginning. Number two, you have the breastplate of righteousness. This breastplate of righteousness. See, righteousness is not something that I have to produce. It's something that Jesus produces through me. When we're told in the scriptures that we are to be righteous, that means that we are submitted to the Spirit's work in our life. That means that our relationship with God is as it should be. So we put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know what it does? It protects our heart. Righteousness protects your heart. Because where's the devil going to try to attack? He wants your heart. He wants what you have affection for. And so you put on the breastplate of righteousness, which the righteousness comes from Christ. It protects your heart from the evil. Number three, you need to have your feet covered in preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? It means that you got the shoes that are ready to move in sharing the gospel. In Isaiah 52, it says this, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that says to Zion, your God reigns." All right? In the Bible, there's this correlation. Also in Nahum chapter 1, verse 15. "Behold upon the mountains the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace." There's this correlation in the Bible between our feet and the spreading of the gospel. All right? And that makes perfect sense. Because in order for us to spread the gospel, we have to go. We have to move. In fact, the Great Commission, Jesus didn't say, sit and share the gospel, right? He says, go into the world and share and preach the gospel. So our feet have the shoes on them that are ready to go and preach. And then here's in the Old Testament, in Isaiah and in Nahum, it tells us that those who share the gospel, they're not just sharing the gospel, they're sharing peace. You want to have beautiful feet? Preach the gospel of peace. The fourth part of the armor of God is the shield of faith. And that shield of faith is able to quench or to put out or to suppress or to deflect all the fiery darts of the wicked. All the fiery darts of the wicked. And then the helmet of salvation. It's number five. See, if I've got a relationship with Jesus Christ, I've got that helmet of salvation on. You know what the helmet of salvation does? It protects my mind from the philosophies and thoughts that are not of God. And since the battle that I'm fighting is with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness, the devil wants to put in my mind philosophies and ways of thinking that are contrary to God's. And you know what the helmet of salvation does? It protects your mind from that. Number six, you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I hope you memorize at least a couple scriptures, because this is your weapon. Your weapon against evil, it's not inside yourself. It's not inside even your prayer. Your weapon against evil is in the word of God. Even Jesus himself, when he was tempted of the devil, and we don't have time to go through it, but he didn't say, just get behind me, Satan. He quoted scripture when he said, get behind me, Satan. He quoted scripture because scripture is the weapon. And we need to bring this sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, everywhere with us in our lives. That's why we should memorize scripture. That's why we should meditate on scripture. That's why every day you should try to start with a thought in scripture, because that's going to arm you to fight against the wicked one. And then the seventh thing it tells us here in this passage is we need to have prayer. Prayer connects us to the God who owns the armor. The belt keeps it all together. Prayer keeps it shiny. Head to toe, we're covered with that which is holy and good. We have truth, we have righteousness, we have peace, salvation. These are all things that we wear. We hold on to our faith. We hold on to the word of God. That's our shield and our sword. And we bring it all together with prayer. Because prayer is only available because of the truth. It's only available because of the righteousness we wear and the gospel of peace that we take with us. Prayer is powerful because the promise is that when we wield the scripture, we are defeating the devil. And so the key for all of us is in the statement, finally, my brethren, put on the whole armor of God. Stand in your faith. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you cannot wear any of this armor. The armor can only be worn by those who have trusted in Christ. When the Bible says, children, obey your parents, it says, obey them in the Lord. When the Bible says, fathers, bring up your children, it says, in the Lord. When it says, servants, obey, it says, as unto Christ. When it says, masters, know that your master is in heaven. All of us are to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You see, a relationship with Jesus Christ is the only way that we can live out Ephesians chapter 6. And if we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're not going to be able to fill our role and we're not going to be able to wear the armor. The relationship with Christ is the key to everything that we've talked about this morning. So I want to close with the Christmassy theme, since I haven't preached any Christmas, right? We've sang some Christmas songs. I want to close with this theme because the connection in this passage to Christ is also the key to the Christmas season. We're going to have a drama in just a second. And I hope that this drama speaks to your heart as well as your head. I hope that it appeals to you to say, boy, I want to think the right way during this time of year. Your relationship with Jesus Christ, wherever you are in it. Some of you, you're miles down the road and you've walked with him through thick and thin. And man, you've got this relationship where you know he sticks closer than a brother. And some of you in your relationship with Jesus Christ, it's kind of this fresh new thing. And you're still trying, you know, still feeling it out, trying to see, God, how are you going to help me? And you're learning more and more every day. But here's the thing, we all need to have this relationship with Jesus Christ strong. Because if you don't, children, you can't obey, because you obey in the Lord. Fathers, you can't parent well because you parent in the Lord. You're a boss or an employee. You do it in the Lord. That's what the key to this Ephesians 6 is. It's all in the Lord. You wear the armor. You know how you wear it? Because God puts it on you. And you ask Him to put it on you. And so we're going to have a drama right now. And as we have this, I just hope that it speaks to your heart. When the drama's done, we're going to sing a song together as a church. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, during the song, I'm just going to stand at the front, and I would invite you to come and to say, hey, I've never trusted Jesus Christ, but I want to. And this morning, I'll talk to you about trusting Christ as your Savior. And if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, I hope that this morning, you're just motivated to say, you know what? I want my relationship with God right. Because when it's right, all those other relationships can be right.
Happy birthday, a great victory. Let's celebrate, yeah, celebrate you. So make a wish.
I hope this doesn't take long because I've got stuff to do.
I know.
Shh, he's coming.
Oh, goodness. Oh, what a day. What a day. Whoa, what is going on?
Happy birthday to Jesus.
Wow, Grace, what are you guys doing?
Well, it's your special day, and it only comes once a year, so.
Well, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Hey, now that we're all here, let's sit down. We'll catch up.
No.
Oh, well.
No, this is about you, and this year for your birthday, we all knew exactly what you wanted.
Really?
Wait till you see him.
Yeah.
Okay.
We all got your gifts.
Oh, wow. That's great. But the gifts are unnecessary, guys. Let's sit down and we'll chat.
Here, open mine first.
Oh, all right. Clever. WWID. And only I can wear it. Nice.
Do you love it or what?
Yes.
I thought if Jesus went anything, this would be it.
That's great, Brad. Hey, you were looking for work
Jesus,
last week.
Jesus, we're all looking for work. Here, open mine.
Okay.
It's a Bible.
A Bible.
Uh-huh.
Mm, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got your name on it and all your words in red, you know, just in case you forgot what you said.
Always nice. I don't know what to say. Hey, how did it go with your aunt last week when you were
open
visiting?
Open mine next, here. It's right there.
Okay. All right. Let's see what we got.
All right.
What is this?
It's sand from the Holy Land. I special ordered it. I thought that way you would feel more at home. But that's not all. Go ahead and look in there. Something else.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, a cross.
It's not just any cross. I mean, this cross is made from the same wood that your cross was made of. I know, can you believe it?
Yeah.
And you can wear it as a necklace. So you just put it on right like that, and you can wear it, and it reminds you of that day.
Yeah, I don't see that being a problem. Look, guys, these gifts are all great, but they're unnecessary. I just want to talk.
Jesus, what is your problem? If you don't like our gifts, just say so.
Yeah, we all went to a lot of trouble to get you these gifts, and this Bible was not cheap, and the engraving is real gold.
In fact, if you're going to act like this, don't expect us for Easter.
What?
You can at least be grateful for the stuff you wanted.
But all I really wanted was you.
Happy birthday, your special day
to you.
Yes, to you.
Mm. Let's stand together.
Light of the world, you stepped out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven.
Lift up our hearts to you. You're an awesome God. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you that your desire, it's not as hard as what we make it sometimes. Your desire is to every day just have a walk and a talk with you. Your desire, Lord, is that we would be children, fathers, employers, employees who are in the Lord. And so, God, I just thank you that we can be confident because Jesus Christ came to this earth. We can be what you want us to be. We can live how you want us to. We can be shielded and sheltered and protected from all of the fiery darts of the devil. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are the wonderful, mighty God, everlasting counselor, the Prince of Peace. And in that wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a great week before Christmas. We do have a brief meeting, and so in 3 minutes, we'll start the business meeting. Oh, I'm sorry. Whoa. Craig, come here. This is Craig and Cassie Prowse. They have come forward this morning to join the church. They've all been saved, baptized, and... they would like to join 12th Street Baptist Church. And so I need a recommendation to accept them into membership. I have a first and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Welcome to 12th Street Baptist Church, Craig. All right. So if you guys could go to the back so we could give you the right hand of fellowship. Cassie. Craig. So make sure you give them the right hand of fellowship and then come back in 3 minutes for the meeting. God bless.